Praise God. Well, we've been in a series called Strong in Spirit. Let's look on your sheet at a few scriptures. We'll review a little bit and go further today. Luke 2:40. Luke 2:40 says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Just think of yourself in that sentence. You know, you could insert your name there, you know, and whatever your name is, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon you. Does that sound like a good statement? If somebody was talking about you, and he said, "Brother Joe," said, "Joe grew and became strong in spirit," because we can all grow. We decided that, right? Yes. We all can grow. He said, "Joe grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Is that a good thing to say? That's awesome. Glory to God. Yep, we just stopped right there and camped on that the rest of the time. I think we'd benefit. But that's what we want. We want to grow. We want to be stronger. We want to be stronger next year than we are this year. Stronger in 5 years than you are now. 10 years that you look back and say, "Man, did the best I could, but it is so much better now." We just want to go from strength to strength, glory to glory, just getting strong, stable, secure in Him. Just to get established. So when life bumps up against you, you don't move, it moves. You know, it comes up against you and just stops. Why? Because you're solid. Now, not in your own strength, not in your own might, not because you're so great, not because I'm so great, but because our lives are based solidly on His Word. And we're letting Him work through us. Because God He doesn't get pushed around. Like we were singing, He has no rival. That's right. I love that line. Yeah. It's in the Bible, you know. He doesn't have anybody that can come against Him. Nobody ever has come against Him and won. The devil tried. Look at how that turned out. He got cast out, and all the people that thought it was a good idea with him, all the angels, they got cast out. And anybody that rises up against God today, doesn't matter who they are, what they look like, if they're listening to the enemy, it's not going to work. God is immovable. So that's where we want to be. We want to be planted with Him. Strong, just secure in Him. The Bible talks about Psalms, about just a tree planted right by the river. You're just planted with Him, and you're growing strong in Him. And, you know, the more and more we grow, the more we become like Jesus, the more solidified our life becomes. Things that used to knock us out for a week or a month don't even, it's just a blip. You may, you know, it just moves you, and you come right back. It's like one of those dolls, you know, those punching bags that you blow up and you knock it down and it pops back up. You know, it doesn't matter. You can knock it down and it'll come back and hit you in the head. Doesn't matter. You can knock it down. But you know, it's just like this. You didn't knock it down. It just came right back. That's the way we should be. It was just, devil said this used to knock him into next week, but now it's just, well, I'm going to take her out. Watch this. And go, that's got to be frustrating. And we want to frustrate the enemy. Well, there's only one way to do it. You think you're going to take him out. That's not the way to do it. You just get solidified in the Lord. He can't move you. The enemy can't move you. So we want to be strong just like our Master, just like Jesus. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." That's what we're talking about, being strong in the inner man. If you're strong in the inner man, it's going to show up on your outer man. So many people are trying to change the outer man, but if we'll start with the inner person, your outer person will catch up. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So we've been talking about what it means to be strong and what it means to be spiritual. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. It says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal or as to natural. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now are still not able. So it says, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people. What does that mean? That's what we're talking about. We want to be spiritual. This isn't on your sheet, but we don't have to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about spirit, soul, and body. Those are the three parts of the being. And we're talking about being strong in spirit. Being strong in spirit. If you're strong in spirit, your soul's going to prosper, and your body will be strong. You can be weak in body, but if you'll get your spirit man built up, your body can catch up and be strong. On the other hand, if you completely lose heart and you're weak spiritually, your person could be strong but begin to get weak. Hebrews 13:20. Let's look at that. It says, now may the God of peace, these are all this kind of review. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So we talked about, the Bible calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and we talked about that he is the one that is overseeing. He's the head of the church, the Bible says in Ephesians. He's the head of the church, and he is looking over his sheep, and he is guiding us and helping us and shepherding us and helping us to be equipped to do his will. Now, there's different ways that we're being strengthened, but it's God, Jesus, that is overseeing his sheep. Look at that verse 21 in the Amplified version. It's on your sheet there. So it's saying that Jesus would strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will. Does that sound good? That's what Jesus is doing through us. He's strengthening us, completing us, perfecting us. That's maturing, what we're talking about, to make you what you ought to be. Do you know God sees you and I as we ought to be? He sees us through the eye of faith. He knows what you and I are capable of. He sees the potential, and he knows how to get you there. Now, there are all kinds of development programs that natural man creates. I'm not knocking those, but they have to be in line with the Word and in line with God's plan for your life. In other words, you could do a development plan that has nothing to do with God's will, and it's a waste of time. You could be totally developed, totally an expert in some certain area that has nothing to do with what God would have you to do, and it's a waste of time. We have to be discerning. We have to know and go to Him. He wants to grow us up and develop us in ways that will help us to accomplish His will, which is what it says here. He wants to strengthen. He'll strengthen, complete, perfect, and make us what we ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will. See, He wants to make you what you ought to be and equip you with everything good. Why? That you may carry out His will. Not just so you can say, I'm equipped, I'm good, I'm awesome, I'm the best. Yeah. Okay, great. You know, you're listed on the records as this person's best. For what? I'm not knocking, you know, people have accomplished phenomenal things, but at the end of the day, for what? We want to be sure we are putting His things first and being grown up in line with what he would want. Now, there are general things along these lines that he spelled out in his word that we want to be strengthened spiritually, walk more like him. But then there are also things that are going toward his will specifically for your life and for my life. But we're talking primarily, generally, that in the word there are things that are in line with his will for our lives that we want to grow and be equipped in. So let's keep going, go over a few of these things and get to where we need to be. So last week we looked at these verses here and then went a little further. Ephesians 4:11, it says, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints." See, there's that word again, equipping, building up, being ready. Why? "For the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things." Speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things. So we said we're going to grow up by hearing the truth spoken in love. We need to hear the truth. Well, the truth is God's word. The truth is Jesus. Let's look at a few more scriptures on your sheet. Look at John 8:31, just a little bit further down. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So the truth is what is going to grow us up, is going to edify us, is what is going to make us free, the truth. Look at John 17:16, the next verse there. It says, "They are not of the world, but just as I am not of the world," talking about Christians. 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Amen. So the word is truth. That is what is going to make us free. That's what's going to grow us up. It's the truth. Now, anything that looks like the truth, but that's not the truth, is not going to do the same thing. Okay? Let's get into this. We'll read a few scriptures and we'll get into this a little bit. 2 Timothy 4, let's look at that. Still just recapping a little bit what we had last week. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word." Well, what's the word? It's the truth. Preach the truth. "Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Look at this. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." What will sound doctrine be? That's the truth. If something's sound, what does that mean? It's solid. It's whole. Not like partially there. You know, if we're talking about a sound body, that means it's a strong body. You're talking about, you know, a sound piece of furniture, which, you know, you have to, this day and age, stuff has just been made more cheaply in general, right? But, you know, like my parents have this oak table and chairs. I mean, it's solid oak. The thing is heavy. It's solid. You could say that's sound, right? You know, there's certain things you can buy now. It just doesn't, like we were talking about clothes earlier, it just doesn't last that long. But if something is sound, it's strong. So it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from" what? "From the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now, what's a fable? People have heard of fables. Usually when you think of fable, you know, it's something that has to do with somebody is taught to kids, or it's not true. It's a story. Well, look at what this is saying here. Verse 2 says, preach the word. What do we know? The word is the truth. We read that in John that the truth is what's going to make free. But it also says then in verse 3, the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up teachers for themselves, or for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Now, if the truth is what's going to make us free, the truth is what's going to grow us up, the word, look at 1 Peter 2 right there on your sheet. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Well, the word is the truth. So the word is what's going to make us strong. We saw that speaking the truth in love. So it's the truth of God's word, sound doctrine, reality, that is what is going to change us and grow us up. But notice, you would think everybody would want the truth. If the truth is what's going to make us sound and strong, and like we read at the beginning, that talking about Jesus, that he grew strong in spirit, grew in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That sounds good. We said, that sounds what I want. That's like what I want. Now, why would you ever turn away from it? But the fact is, in this day and age, and obviously back here, in Paul's day and age, he's writing to Timothy, people would turn away from the truth. And notice, they don't want to hear it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Well, if it's according to our desires, and it's not the truth, that's going to end up in a ditch. It's only the real that's going to make the change in us. Only God's word is going to set us free. If it's not God's word, but it looks like God's word, it's not the same thing. That's called a counterfeit. You know, if you were supposed to take a certain vitamin, and there was something that was being sold that looked exactly like that vitamin, same color, same type, same texture, but didn't have the actual content, is that going to do for you the same thing as the actual vitamin? Because it's just, the stuff isn't there, right? If your body needs a certain amount of a certain vitamin or mineral or something, and you give it something else, are you going to get the same result? You're not. Why? Because it's not what your body needs. It's something else. Well, it's the same spiritually. We're talking about feeding our spirit. We're talking about getting strong. How foolish would it be in the natural to be just taking a bunch of things that were like counterfeit food? You could do that with anything. You know, they have food that looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing, without going into detail. They manufacture now stuff that looks like certain things. It's not the real thing. Supposed to taste like it, look like it, but it's not the same. Well, if you ate a bunch of stuff that looked like something healthy, but was actually not healthy, and then you're not getting any better. In fact, you're getting worse. You're getting weak, and then you go to your doctor or whoever, and you're asking the question, I don't understand it. I'm eating these things, but, you know, my body is not responding. Well, what are you eating? Well, these things, this and this and this. Well, what is that? Well, they look like vegetables. They taste like vegetables. You know, it looks like protein. It looks like these vitamins and minerals. Well, is it? Well, no, but it looks like it and it tastes like it, but it's not. Why? But I don't get it. Why am I getting weaker? Does that even need an answer? I mean, you know, guy maybe, or ladies looking at you going, So let me get this straight. You're not eating what you're supposed to eat, but you expect to get the same result. Well, yeah, it looks the same, or it kind of, and plus I want to eat this. You know, it's this, you know, it's like eating candy that's in the shape of peas and carrots. And wondering, why doesn't it work? You know, the little orange, you know what I'm talking about. You got peas and carrots, the mixed vegetables, and maybe you got all you got some corn there, and you got some green beans, and the little carrots, and the peas, and that's all mixed vegetables. But you have candy that looks the same way. And that's what they're feeding on all the time, and they're wondering, why doesn't it work? Because I like the candy better. I want to eat the candy. Why can't that just do the same thing as the vegetables? It makes me mad that doesn't do the same thing. I want an answer, doctor. What if you went and you're paying money to get this answer? You don't need to pay any money to get that answer. It's obvious. But spiritually, this is what people do all the time. And in this day and age, there is so much stuff that is exactly what we're talking about here. Verse 3, or 2 Timothy 2 or 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. What we just said about the candy and the vegetables is a parallel. There is going to come a time when people will not eat real food. What's real food spiritually? It's the truth. It's the Word. The Word is what's going to grow us up, right? What is going to make us free? The truth. Something that looks like the truth? No, the truth. But it says that people, now what we have to make sure is not pointing the finger at people, but is this person that we're talking about, us, is anywhere are we doing this? Because anywhere that we decide we want something that we like versus what the truth is, we can just chalk it up. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be strong. We're not going to be sound. But that's what everybody says they want. That's what we all want. Well, we have to make sure we are actually listening and hearing the truth. Let's go ahead and turn over to Colossians 3, verse 8. You guys okay?
Yes.
Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. So it mentions a few behaviors here, and then it says, put these off. For you have put on, put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We need to put on the new man. Our spirit has been created new, but it has to be fed, and we need to be strengthened. And strengthened with what? The Word and the truth, not some false truth, which is not truth at all, something that looks like the truth. See, there are counterfeits to this. And I'm not just talking about within Christianity, just everywhere you turn, somebody's got a way of living, a way of doing something, and they're trying to say, this is how you do life. This is what you should do. But the thing that we have to ask ourselves in every instance is it based on the Word of God? Because if it is, then it actually has substance that will grow us up. If it's not, it's not going to do anything. And in fact, it can create confusion and bring us away from God. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. We'll just go to verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. First Corinthians 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." So notice that I did not come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, as man's wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. "Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." Notice that. Do you realize all the wisdom of this age, of the people that would be so-called rulers of this wisdom, what does the Bible say? They're coming to nothing. Now, it may look good, may sound good, but if it's not the Word, it's going nowhere. The Bible says the Word is established. The Word endures. It's been tested. It's been tried. It's not going to move. Men's doctrines and men's ideas and philosophies will shift and move, and people say, this is truth. This is the way. You know, people talk about truth and throw it around. Well, you're holding in your hand truth. This is the Word of the living God. This will not change. This, when the dust settles, this is always going to be shown to be on top. It's true. You will never find anything that is wrong in this Word. People talk about contradictions and things. There are none. That just shows up our ignorance, our lack of understanding. It doesn't mean the book's wrong. It can mean our lack of that we have a lack of understanding of how certain things fit together. But this is the truth. The truth is what is going to make us free. Men's wisdom will not. And do we realize that there is a whole lot of men's wisdom, philosophy, psychology, that is substituted for the Word of God? Now, you can have things that work together, and we can have understanding of certain things, but if you try to make things in place of the Word of God, it is a house of cards. May look good, may sound good, you may think you're getting results, but just because you get some results doesn't mean they're lasting results. You can have that in the natural. There are certain treatments you can have that will get you better, but stuff will start falling apart afterwards. If you were just to go by short term, you start taking a certain thing, you start taking a certain shot, and looks like the condition's improving. But, it's at the expense of something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So just as an aside, we have to be very careful. what we do as far as treatments and everything, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. We're not against, and the Bible's not against medicine, but for this very purpose, we can't put our lives into the hands of a human being. I don't care how many letters they have after their name. We have to be led by the Spirit of God of what path we're taking and what the potential side effects could be. Our goal is to get whole. So here we're talking about truth. There are things that, like we were saying, in the natural with your body that can make you look like you're getting better. The problem is tomorrow, part of your systems start not functioning right because they were being modified by whatever you just took. Or 3 months from now. Or if you take enough of certain things, it changes. Well, there are things that in the world, there are teachings that sound like their Bible if you don't actually read the Bible. They sound like, well, it's truth. And people try to take truth outside the Word of God. Well, like there's this universal truth. This is just one subset of it, this being the Bible. And there's truth. Any truth that anybody has anywhere is got to come back to the Word. Whether they know it or not, it's in the Word. It's God's truth. In other words, there isn't any truth that somebody came up with apart from God. There's a lot of falseness in other religions. There's a lot of falseness in philosophies. But there's some bits of truth, which is what gets people going in that direction. Now, we're still in 1 Corinthians. We'll keep reading that. But think back what we read in 2 Timothy, that the time will come when people won't endure sound doctrine, but for their own desires. Well, they're not enduring sound doctrine. That means they're replacing it with something. Well, most people aren't going to go and take something that's, based on the truth and do a 180 and, like, go to Satanism or something. But you start tainting it, they just don't like to hear this part. I don't like this. When you tell me this, it makes me mad, like we were talking about. Well, why does that make you mad? Let me ask you a question. When you tell Jesus certain things, he is love. And we're getting ahead of ourselves, but here, I mean, he is love. He's not touchy. He's not fretful. And when you tell him something, number one, you don't have anything to correct in God, number one. But if you were to say something and you did think you had something to correct, he's not going to blow up at you. He's going to be like, look at you with loving eyes and talk to you. But if we get mad, if we don't want to hear something, that's evidence of a wrong spirit. Because the Spirit of Jesus is not that way. The Holy Spirit is not that way. And like we said last week, you start hearing the truth and you start getting agitated, what are we yielding to? Now, if the Satan has somebody captive in an area, and the truths that will set them free starts getting near them, he'll start prodding the person because they don't want, if they start hearing and acting on the truth, they're going to get free. So when we start, we got to watch it. We talked about it last week, but just touching on it this week. If you're hearing the truth and you want to reject it, why? Why would you start getting agitated? Do you have help in getting agitated? Rhetorical question. I mean, you may. Why are you getting prodded? Why all of a sudden is your flesh getting pushed? Why all of a sudden don't you like the way something's going on? Or, Satan, the Bible talks about when in the parable of the sower, if he can get the word out of your grass right away, he'll do it. Get you to drop the word. Because the word's going to change you. The word, that's the truth. The truth will set you free. So if we're here and say, I just don't like this. Well, question, is it the truth? And even if it wasn't the truth, why are we getting mad? See, that's the question. If you heard something that wasn't the truth, If you're really solid, really you're solidified in Jesus and spiritually mature, you would recognize that's not the truth, and here's why. And if somebody were trying to tell you, well, I understand, but you don't have to debate with them, but you're just not going to hear it because you know what's true. But why would you get mad about it? If you're really solid, you're not going to get mad. You're not threatened. You know what the Word says. Not going to do any good for me to get mad at you. Not going to be good for me to shut you down. I just don't want to hear that. What is that? If somebody's trying to tell me that I should be in a different religion, you know, unless you're trying to knock the door down in my house or something and getting in my face like that, I'm just going to walk away from you. I don't need to argue. Why would I argue with you? I don't have any inkling of believing anything you're going to say. I already know what I believe. As far as the Word goes, as far as the truth, you're wrong. Now, I don't have to throw that in your face. I don't have to tell you. If I feel like I have to get mad and tell you, that means I'm not secure in what I believe. I'm going to try to argue with this person that just stopped me in the mall and tell them why, you know, whatever they're peddling isn't right, because I got to really convince them. Number one, if they're coming at me, they don't want to hear me. I'm not doing it out of love. I mean, unless the Spirit of God told me to do something, I'm not doing it out of love. I'm not doing it out of concern for them. And if I feel like I have to win every argument, that's a problem, because the Bible didn't say go into all the world and argue. It said go into all the world and preach the gospel. People aren't going to receive it. Do we realize that? Not everybody is going to believe. Okay. But if somebody's coming at me telling me that I got to believe this and I get mad at them, what spirit is that? Is that Spirit of God? Am I representing the Spirit of God? I was working with a ministry, certain ministry in a certain place. If I mention the place, the name, you would know it. But there's people on the streets ministering to people, and we were one of them doing certain things. But we saw this other people, and these people were yelling at the top of their lungs at the people that would go by in the streets and calling them names and saying, you're going to hell, and just, but not in like a good way. They were like beating them up, calling them names, like berating them. That's not the love of God. Now, I'm not saying maybe they thought that was right, but that's not the way God does it. I was looking going, these people are here to have fun. You really think they're going to listen to you? You're telling them how stupid they are? Most people are not going to listen to that. Now, could anybody ever get born again like that? Maybe. But most people with any kind of self-worth, they kind of go, what? Just who are you? And they're going to go right on partying. That's not, can you see Jesus doing that? Is that Jesus going to come down? Now, there were religious people. There was Pharisees that were coming against him. That's one thing. And he was doing the very thing. But just going down, picking people out and berating them and telling them stuff. I mean, I'm talking about putting them down. I'm not just talking about preaching the gospel. It's true. You're going to go to hell. I mean, if you don't print, there's a way to do that. But I'm telling, he's calling them names, like berating, deriding them, pulling them down. What is that behind that? So if we feel like we would have to win, we're going to get mad. How dare you insult what I believe? I'm going to tear at you, and you're saying that. I don't believe that. That's stupid, and this is why. What is that spirit behind it? I'm saying we have to ask. So when we're talking about truth coming, and we're talking about here that, you know, in this day and age, people basically, it's consumerism. You can cherry pick what you want. You know, you order something online, you can customize it, right? If you're going to order a phone, you can say how much memory it has and what color it is. And if you want the super special version that is in a different color and they're going to charge you more money for, right? What case you want, what plan you want. If you're going to get a car, good night. You have all these options you can do. If you're going to build a house, every little decision, you can customize everything, right? Well, why not when you're going to, your quote-unquote religion? I like this, and I like a little bit of this over here that this guy's saying, and I like this dude. I really like the way he says this. I don't like the other stuff he says, but that I'm going to take. This guy, don't like the way he really says it, but he has some good stuff when he talks about this. Now, the stuff when he's talking about the other guy, I like the other guy better. So I'm going to take his, and then I'm going to take this dude. And then this lady over here, she preaches it. I like that. That's the way people look at it. And I'm just going to get what I call my worldview. This is the way I believe. Are we supposed to do that? As servants and children of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have a choice what we believe. Did you hear me? We don't get to choose what we believe. We're supposed to believe what he told us to believe, period. Which is the truth. We don't get to say, God, I know you're my Savior. I just don't like what you said about this, so I'm just going to ignore that part. Would we say that? A lot of people would not say that if you talked about putting it just like that to Jesus. He's here and say, you know, I like what you said. Come up to Jesus after he got done praying. I like what you said. It's just this. I don't really like this part. I'm not going to do that part. Now, I'll do the other stuff, and I'll follow you to here. But this, I can't do it. But I like what this other guy said about this. Would somebody tell Jesus that? I hope not. But people do it all the time with what I'm just saying. And we have to be careful. We're not pointing fingers at other people. We got to be careful. Is that gotten into us? Has it? To where we feel like, I like this and this, but this part, man, I just can't get over it. I'm just not going to look at that. I don't like it. Do you know when we do that, we're doing exactly what we talked about in 2 Timothy here. Just put that, hold your finger in where we are in 1 Corinthians, but look at 2 Timothy. Can you put that up again on the screen? 2 Timothy 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to what? Their own desires. Isn't that kind of like, hey, I want the blue one. I want the one with 128 gigabytes. I don't want the one with 32. That's not enough. I want the... That's the type of attitude that has gotten in because they have itching ears. What does that mean? You want to hear what you want to hear. Let me ask you a question. If we do that spiritually, isn't that a lot like, I want to eat the candy. I want to eat the candy. I don't like the vegetable. This, and plus, this looks just like the vegetable. That's what I'm going to do. That's our own desires because we have itching ears. We want... And you know what we're looking for? We want somebody to tell us it's okay to eat the candy. I know. You're right on. I know what the doctor said. They don't know what that degree from Harvard, that doesn't mean anything. You can eat the candy, you will be just as healthy as if you ate the real peas and carrots. You have my word on it. What does that mean? I said so. And look at how many people I have in my following telling you that they believe the same thing. What does that mean? It means you just have a bunch of people eating candy for vegetables. That's all it means. Well, all those people couldn't be wrong, really. Do you know how many people are in false religions? That doesn't make it right. But this is exactly what. Somewhere people got itching ears because notice this wasn't written in the year 2018. This was written a long time ago. So evidently this is just a problem with humanity. It's not this century. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Notice this. We're going to find people that tell me what I want to hear. I want a whole line of people that tell me the candy's okay. Because this person said it, and this person. So who are you? It doesn't matter who I am. What does the word say? And what did the doctor say? If we go back and say, well, the doctor said this. I got 18 people that have told me it's okay. So, okay. Let me ask you a question. Who said what, at the end of the day, how's that going to work out for the person that just eats the candy? It's not going to work. I don't care how many people you get to put their stamp of approval on it. It is not going to work. Why? There's no nutrition in it. It's just going to get worse. And that's the same way it is spiritually. We can try to repackage stuff. We can look at it. We can talk about how many people are talking about it and how many people like it. And we can say how good it makes us feel. But what's the lasting effect? It's eventually not going to work. How do we want to find that out after the fact, after we've been doing it for 15 years? Or, you know, you want to find out all the people that were peddling the stuff ended up on the junk heap? Or do you want to just go with the word and believe that God, what he said, it's settled forever, and if I have anything, you know, come up and it's in the word, and I don't care if it hits me upside my head, I'm going to get it. I'm going to change. Did we not pray that? I'm going to change because that's going to make me strong. I don't want to have a feel good for the next, you know, 10 minutes or an hour or 3 days and then crash. I want something that I just keep getting stronger. There's not a side effect. Do you realize there's no side effect to the Word of God? You can't overdose. You just keep pumping it in. You just get stronger. You keep feeding on it. You get stronger. You keep spending time with God. You get stronger. That's what the truth will do. Now, it doesn't mean you may bump up against something and you don't really like it, but you know what? You keep with it. You get over it. You are so glad that you got past it. And you look back and say, that tried to trip me up, but I'm past it. Praise God. You can go to the next verse here. Verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. What's a fable? It's not real. May look real, may sound real. Well, so-and-so said, that's not the same as it's true. And you get there and nothing. Anybody ever been driving on a hot day and seen a mirage? It looks like there is water across the road. And you go, and you can see there's something next to that water, and when you get to that landmark, you'll be next to the water. But you get to that landmark, and what? Just road. But you can see something out in front of it, further, that looks like the same thing. Well, we know that's not real. Now, your kid sitting next to you, if they've never seen one, may think, that's got to be water. Do you know that's what happens all the time, year after year? Because there's new people coming on the earth all the time. Well, this thing's new. We have it figured out now. 2018, we know some stuff. We figured out, you know, all that stuff with the Bible, those are fables. See how ironic and twisted it is? People say that these accounts in here are just fables, are stories. And what are they believing? Fables. But they call the truth stories. So when we are looking at the Word, we got to go back to where your place in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. Not going to go anywhere. And in a few years, everybody's going to see that wasn't the right answer. Why do we want to be one of the people that went down the guinea pigs? Well, this is the way you raise children. Read about stuff. 50s, 60s, read about these. This is the way you do it, but it's not lined up with the Word of God. Well, what do you have? A whole bunch of people that got raised on that, and look at what we have now. You want to mess with somebody's life? Somebody's theory? Besides, how did their children turn out? And most of them, it didn't turn out well. I'm not mocking them. I'm not trying to make fun. But this is serious. God's Word will not fail us. Is it always easy to do it God's way? No. It's not always easy to put your flesh down and do what God told you to do. But it always brings results. The truth will set us free, right? Amen. The truth will make us free. Why do we want something that looks good but is going to bind us? We don't. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, skip to 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man, or the carnal man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? Foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Notice this. The truth of God's word. It's rejected by men, yet other things which are false, which have the appearance of wisdom, are received. The Bible says the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, to people. But what is the thing that's going to actually set people free? It's the truth. It's the word. So anything that's not that will not have the right effect. It will take people away. It will take us away. It will not grow us up. And we have to see, there are things that seem foolish to the natural man, but who are we listening to? God's word is truth, and that's what we want, is the undiluted word of God. Glory to God. Not the wisdom of men. Not that we should just look. It's not that in some areas, yes, we can benefit from things that men have seen, have discovered, but anything that butts up against the word of God, you can say right then, that's not right, I won't follow it. Now, anything that goes within the confines of God's word, yes, we can benefit from it. We can, there's, of course, technology and things. Those things don't go up against God's word. But anytime somebody is trying to peddle something, or we have to be very careful, we're not receiving something that would contradict the word of God. We have to be sure what we're listening to. That we don't, even, without knowing it, that we've had itching ears and that we have, now listen to me, that we have shut our ears off to a part of God's word. That you're still open in certain areas, you're still going down the path, you still feel like you're growing, but you shut down, you don't like something, and so you start ignoring this part. That will hinder us in all parts. Because if God is speaking with us and dealing with us on something, and we say, I don't like that, I'm going to ignore that, we just put our hand up to the Almighty, to the Spirit of God, and it's going to be difficult for us to hear in other areas, and our growth is going to be hindered. Can you see that? The growth that should happen, we have tried to stop and basically said, I don't want to grow here. Now, help me to grow over here. But the fact is, God is going to grow us up in all areas, and if we stop it in one area, that can just stunt us, and we stay there. And this is why we can stall. We can be growing, and then we can stop and pause. Well, I don't know why. I don't know why. We'll look back. Is there something we shut down? Something that agitated us, that maybe we got offended with the word? And because that's what the Bible says, people get offended with the word, that we said no. And so we're basically trying to live in a compromise, saying, I don't like this, but I'm still going to try to hear this. God, I don't want this part of what you have to say, but keep growing me up over here. I really like this. And God wants all of us. And there are parts that we are going to grow through. When the truth comes, we're going to have to say, Lord, I yield that to you. Lord, that I don't see how to implement it. I've struggled with something. I had this happen to me, such and such. If we'll just come to Him honest and say, Lord, you know where I'm at. I see this plainly in the Word. I want to grow. My heart is to be used by you. My heart is to grow and to be strong in everything that you have for me. Lord, show me how to change. Show me what to tweak. And Lord, I'll do it. There is help there to grow and to get past and to start being strong. And we, God, through His help and His strength, can make us see, and we start getting past something, we start growing. And now that part that used to just, we were trying to shut off, we've grown past it. So now that's strong. We're stable. And we go up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.